Isn't that a song? He walks like a man, talks like a man. Hello and welcome to
Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig.
Very good. I'm Craig.
And I'm Reza.
And we welcome you, if you are a new listener, to this podcast in which we will help you improve your English, grow your grammar, vocalize your vocabulary, and perfect your pronunciation. With over 40 years of teaching between Reza and I, we have learned a little about how to help you with your English. In this episode, confusing verbs like say and tell, for example. What's the difference? Speak and talk, or listen and hear. We'll explain some of those more difficult, confusing verbs. But first, some listener feedback from Raul from Valencia. Raul says, when do you use realize, notice, and find out? I think all of them mean the same. Realize and notice es darse cuenta. Find out puede ser averiguar o darse cuenta. It's a mess, says Raul. What do you think, Reza?
You've got a point, Raul. You've got a point. When you translate them, it is very difficult. However, I would say that the three do have different meanings. Would you agree, Craig?
Yes, I do agree. Realize is more, I think, to know and understand something in your mind. It's like a cognitive event, algo cognitivo.
Can you give us an example sentence with realize?
I realized she didn't love me anymore.
So you understood it.
I understood it at a cognitive level.
Okay.
However, notice is more to see or hear or feel something. It's more of a physical event. Like, hey, Reza, I notice you're wearing a new shirt today. I can see it with my eyes and I notice there's something different. Or I notice you've had your hair cut, for example. I would not say I realize you are wearing a new shirt, probably.
So it's to do with observing things with the senses. I notice you've added more salt than normal to the soup.
Yes, yeah. It tastes saltier.
Noticed, yeah.
I've noticed it. And also, find out was Raoul's other question.
I would say that's easier than the other two. It simply means to obtain information. I need to find out what time the train leaves to Madrid tomorrow.
We should find out what time the film starts tonight.
To get the information. Everybody knew that my girlfriend was cheating on me, except me. I was the last one to find out. I was the last one to get the information. That's always the way.
I didn't notice anything different.
I didn't realize she didn't love me anymore.
I realized she didn't love me anymore when I came home early and found her in bed with the neighbor.
Oh, dear.
How terrible. Thank you for your question, Raul. I hope we've clarified realize, notice, and find out. We also have a question from Joaquin Ruiz Rufo, who sent us an email saying, Hi, Joaquin. I'm looking for information about the use of these sentences. Could you help me? Look like, look, and look. So the verbs to look like, and to look. What's the difference, says Joaquin? What do you think?
Well, they are different. They are different. To like is the easiest one. Let's start with that first. I live in Valencia because I like the weather here. I like the people, friendly. I like paella, the famous dish. These are things which give me pleasure. I like them. They give me pleasure.
Me gusta.
Gusta, that's it. So that's easy, isn't it? Then we have to look like and to look, he said, right?
Yes, look like is appearance, isn't it?
Yeah, but so is look. They're both appearance.
So what would be the difference?
Well, I could say to you, Craig, that new T-shirt you're wearing looks great. Looks great.
Thank you very much.
It looks great. It has a good appearance. Mm-hmm.
And I could say to you, your shirt looks like a shirt I used to have years ago. It looks similar to.
Ah, so like adds the meaning of similar to, comparing.
So looks like it's similar to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. People often say things like when I say like here, the word like is como here. Como. It's not a verb. People often say things like similar to. He looks like his brother. That means he and his brother have a similar appearance. Mm-hmm. Or she walks like her mother. She walks in a similar way to her mother. She walks like, she looks like. So like is really just a particle which can be added to any verb. So look like has a similar appearance. Walk like, walk in a similar way. Smell like, smell in a similar way. Run like, run in a similar way.
Isn't that a song? He walks like a man.
Talks like a man. Yeah.
Anyway, one more thing about the verb to like. It can be followed by a gerund or an infinitive, and sometimes there's a slight difference in meaning. Let me explain. Reza, do you like getting up early?
I don't, actually.
Me neither. Most people don't like getting up early, the activity of getting up early. However, some days I like to get up early because I can have a slow breakfast, read the newspaper, get ready slowly, have a shower. So
this time you use the infinitive.
With the infinitive, it's the result that I like, not the activity. So the gerund is sometimes the activity that you like, and the infinitive is the result. So maybe you could say, I like running because you enjoy the activity of running, or I like to run because I get fit when I run, or I lose weight. So that's the result of running.
Although you didn't ask us, Joachim, I'd like to add another verb which is very important in English, to be plus like, to be like. A very typical question you ask in English when you want to find out about something, a little description, you say, what is it like? For example, I've never been to Toledo. What's it like? Can you describe it? What is it like? Or, I don't know John's brother. What's he like? Can you describe him? What's he like? To be like. I'm not asking you what things he likes, like does he like Valencia like me? No. I'm asking you to describe him. What is he like? To be like. And you could say John's brother is tall, fat, he has a beard, and he's got a good sense of humor. He's really funny. It can be either physical appearance or personality.
And that expression, to be like, is very useful for making small talk. For example, if you know somebody who's just come back from holiday, you could say, oh, what was it like? What was the hotel like? What was the flight like? What was the food like? So you're asking about how things were. What was it like? And that's a very nice way of making conversation and asking some impersonal small talk questions.
And then be careful not to confuse that with another thing. What's John's brother like? And how's John's brother? Ah, not the same. Not the same. What's John's brother like? Well, he's fat, he's tall, he's got a beard, a great sense of humor. That's what he's like. But how's John's brother? Well, you know, he was sick, but he's better now. That's how is John's brother. So how plus the verb to be is for a temporary state, whereas what to be like is for permanent or characteristics. The difference in Spanish, you've got your way of doing it. You've got ser en estar. What is John like?
Of course.
What is John like? ¿Cómo es Juan o el hermano de Juan?
He's a nice guy. He's very friendly.
And how is John? ¿Cómo está?
That's how you do it in Spanish. He's good. We also have a question from Jorge Jiménez, who says, what is the difference between to say and to tell?
I think we've covered this again, but it comes up a lot.
But because Jorge asked the question, I thought it would be a good idea to put this in this episode with confusing verbs, because say and tell are often confused.
Yeah, it's good to repeat it, isn't it?
Because they both translate as decir.
That's right. but not the same.
What's the difference?
Well,
grammar, isn't it?
Yes. There are exceptions, but the basic rule is you say something and you tell a person. That's the basic rule. For example, he said hello. Hello something. He said he wanted to help me. He wanted to help me is something.
He said something in Spanish.
He said something in Spanish. He said go away. Or he said that I was a terrible person. That I was a terrible person is some information, something. But he told my brother. My brother is who he told. He told the teacher. He told my brother to help him. He told the teacher that he had done his homework. So the basic rule, say something, tell a teacher. But, dot, 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 puntos suspensivos. But what, Craig? There are plenty of exceptions, right?
Yes, for some fixed expressions like tell the truth, tell a lie. You wouldn't say a lie. Mm-hmm. And say the truth. Can you think of any more examples?
Tell a story.
Tell a joke.
Mm-hmm. Tell a tale, which is similar to a story.
But I would say to you, Reza, say something in French.
Bonjour.
Or you could say, I think you can say more than that.
I could say more than that, probably. But
tell me to shut up. Tell me to...
Ferme la bouche.
Ferme la bouche. Tell me to. So tell me, tell him. It's tell plus object and say to someone. So mm-hmm. I said to my boss, please give me a holiday.
So there are two ways to do it. You can say tell and then without a preposition, a person, tell John or say to John. John.
Okay. Exactly. Let's move on to two more, prevent and avoid.
Oh, yes, tricky.
So my dictionary says by avoiding something, you take an action to go around the problem.
Yes.
And preventing something means actively interfering to stop something happening.
Happening, yeah, exactly what I would say.
So, for example, I avoided going to the party by saying I was sick, but I prevented Reza from coming into the room by closing the door.
You took action to stop
I took action to stop you coming in.
Mm-hmm. Governments take action to prevent terrorists attacking their buildings. They prevent terrorists attacking them.
Yes.
But you can avoid a terrorist attack. You avoid, go around it, but prevent is to stop something from happening.
Listen to and hear is a commonly confused verbs. Remember the to with listen to. Many Spanish speakers forget the preposition to. Listen to music. Listen to me. Listen to my voice, for example. Now, what's the difference? Listen to and hear. Well, one is something that you actively do. If you're listening, you're actively listening to something. But maybe here, you just hear it without actively trying. You hear a noise. You hear people speaking in the next room.
Yeah, I think with listen, the thing is you prepare to do it beforehand. I'm going to listen to my favorite music. Or, what's that noise? Listen. So actively get ready to do it.
Yes, that's well explained. Remember and remind.
Mm.
Now, I have problems when I translate this to Spanish because sometimes I get confused.
Well, because they can be the same in Spanish.
Exactly. So how would you explain the difference?
Remind
has a direct object, doesn't it? So remind me to buy milk.
But precisely.
You would not say remember me.
No. Nope. You remind someone to do something.
Remind me to write the show notes to this episode. Yeah. Remind me to give you her telephone number. Let me give a couple of examples. I remember the day you were born. Me acuerdo del día en que naciste.
You have the memory.
Recuerdo el día en que naciste. Yeah. Remind, I've got to leave at 5 p.m. Don't forget to remind me. Tengo que irme a las 5 de la tarde. No te olvides de recordármelo.
In other words, make me remember.
Yes.
For me, the easiest way to look at it is, remind is make someone remember.
And remember, that remember is the opposite of forget.
Yes, don't forget that. Yes. So remind is make someone remember. And it doesn't have to be a person that reminds you. For example, that smell of lemon reminds me of my mom's lemon meringue pie.
Yes.
It makes me remember.
And remember, with remind, it's followed by the object and the infinitive. So remind me to do something. Remind me to buy milk tomorrow. Remind me to lock the door. Remind me to phone the dentist.
It can be, or it can be remind me of something.
Yes, as your example, it reminds me of my mum's cake.
It makes me remember.
Exactly. Before we continue with this episode, Reza and I would like to thank iTalki, who sponsor this podcast. iTalki, what is iTalki, Reza?
iTalki is an online service available to anybody in which you can find the perfect English teacher, or indeed any language, to suit you.
And it's very, very good value. You can find a private one-to-one teacher at about 10, 12, 15 euros per hour. You have lessons over Skype at a time that suits you.
And you pick your own teacher. You can look at every teacher's profile and decide according to the price and their qualifications and their experience who you would prefer to teach you.
And one thing I do like is on their website, first of all, they usually have an introductory video that you can watch so you get an idea of the teacher. And secondly, you can have a trial lesson with many teachers at a reduced price. So go to italki.com, sign up and have a look at their lessons and have a look at their teachers. And we're sure that you'll be happy with their service. Italki are offering a 2-for-1 deal for listeners of this podcast. And you can get this deal at inglespodcast.com/italki. Reza and I would like to thank iTalki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Greg. Let's look at two more. Look and see. Now, look and see, I think, is similar to hear and listen to, isn't it?
Yes, it's kind of the visual equivalent. So if you look at something, you make a conscious, perhaps pre-planned effort. Whereas you see something, it could be just passively. You didn't necessarily make an effort.
Exactly. And watch, of course, also means engagement and actively doing something. I'm watching the film. I'm watching the TV. I'm watching something on television. I'm watching the match.
Watching is kind of like looking with attention.
Yes.
Because you can look at something but not really be paying much attention. Mm-hmm. Although you are making an effort to look at it. Whereas if you watch something, you're looking at it and with attention.
And also you'd say, did you see John yesterday? You wouldn't say, did you look John yesterday? No. Did you see him? Did you see this person? I'm seeing my mother tomorrow. And you look at something. What are you doing? I am looking at this book on cookery. Argue and discuss is commonly confused by Spanish speakers. Because of discutir.
Right.
Argue is discutir. And there's an informal British colloquial expression to row, R-O-W, or to have a row, which is very similar to argue. So I argued with my neighbour yesterday. I had a row with my neighbour yesterday. Discuss is just to talk about something, to have a discussion with someone. For example, before this podcast, Reza and I had a discussion about the bus system in Valencia.
Craig, I've got a couple for you. What about to fit and to suit?
Ooh, that's a good one. Clothes, yes. That shirt, Reza, really suits you.
Oh, thank you.
It looks good on you. So suit, be careful of the pronunciation. It's S-U-I-T, but the pronunciation is oo, so suit. And it's the same spelling as traje, but it's a verb, to suit. And if something suits you, it looks good on you. So that really suits you. It's a good colour for you. It's a good style for you. But fit is not the same, is it?
No. I've had this shirt for quite a few years, actually, Craig. And in the past, it used to fit me better. But now that my stomach is bigger, it doesn't fit as well.
Oh,
the
I,
size
I
is not so
no,
good.
No, no, no,
oh,
no, no, no.
Oh, you're
no,
too
no.
kind. You're
it
too kind.
It fits you very well. Have another biscuit. It fits it fits you very well.
So fit is merely for the size.
If it's too big, it doesn't fit you. If it's too small, it doesn't fit you. Meet and know is also confusing.
Oh, yes. Tricky.
Because conocer is used for both verbs. When did we meet, Teresa?
1998.
That's right. 1998.
Yep.
So Reza and I have known each other for more years than I'd like to remember. 17 years?
17 years.
Good God.
17 years.
So we have known each other for 17 years. So meet is the first time you actually say hello to someone. Nice to meet you. And know is the time that you have conocer.
After you've already met them for the first time.
So we've known each other for 17 years.
But of course, there is another meaning of meet. To meet is to arrange to see someone that you already know. That can also be meet. For example, Craig and I met for the first time in 1998. Okay, so we already know each other. We know each other now. But I could say to you, Craig, shall we meet tomorrow?
Yes, let's meet for a beer.
So that meet is not for the first time. That meet is we arrange to get together. Quedar. Also meet.
I'm meeting him for a beer after work. I'm meeting him in the afternoon. Do and make is mainly a problem of collocation, not of meaning, because hacer. So it's really the nouns or expressions that go together with do and make that make it such a problem. And we've covered do and make in a previous episode. I'll put a link to that episode in the show notes. So just learn the differences. There are some things that will help you remember when to use do and when to use make. And we spoke about those in the episode.
Here's one for you, Craig. What about raise and rise?
Oh, yes. Transitive, intransitive.
Mm-hmm. Which is which?
So rise is...
And you better spell it for the listeners.
Rise is R-I-S-E, and that does not take an object, so it's intransitive. And an example would be the sun rises. The sun rises tomorrow at 6:30 a.m. So you can't say rise the sun. You have to say the sun rises. However, raise, R-A-I-S-E, has an object. So raise your hand or raise your salary. Ask your boss to raise your salary. And raise can also be a noun, to ask your boss for a raise.
Mm-hmm. Rise can also be a noun. Rise too can be a noun. The rise of the Roman Empire.
Of course.
They can both be nouns.
Of course, yep.
The rise and fall of the Roman Empire was a film, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. The rise of the Roman, yeah.
Craig, what about this? This will really test you now. Craig has not seen these beforehand. Let's see. Let's put him on the spot. Manage and succeed. Oh, that's low. Manage and succeed. Go on, go on.
Comma.
Thank goodness we have the power of editing between us.
Manage and succeed.
I'm about to mess it up, and I've even thought about it beforehand. I think manage to do something with difficulty. Or
prepositions as well. Succeed in.
Yes, exactly. Succeed in plus an ing. Manage plus infinitive, beg your pardon. Manage is with difficulty, with hardship. Although it was very difficult, I managed to pass my first certificate exam after studying hard with the Inglés.com podcast. I managed to pass. It was difficult, but I did it.
So would it be correct to say manage is conseguir and succeed is tener éxito?
Yeah, that's a good good translation, perhaps. Although manage can also be lograr. Can also be lograr.
Lograr.
I managed, but succeed can be lograr as well.
I managed to pass my exam, but it was very difficult. I succeeded in passing my exam.
Yeah, but this, if you say that, they're both correct, but succeed doesn't necessarily make it clear that there was difficulty.
Or you needed effort.
Yeah. Maybe you did, but succeed doesn't clarify that. For example, John is a lucky guy. He succeeds in everything in life. He doesn't make an effort, but he succeeds in everything. We couldn't use manage there.
Right. So manage implies an effort.
Yeah, or hardship, difficulty.
Some difficulty.
To achieve it, whereas succeed doesn't necessarily imply that.
So there you go. We've arrived at the difference. Win and earn are both ganar in Spanish.
Yeah.
Win money and earn money. What's the difference?
You win in a competition and you earn through work or effort.
So you earn a salary and you win the lottery.
Exactly.
You earn money at work and you win money at a casino.
Mm-hmm. You can also win a prize. That's P-R-I-Z-E, un premio.
And you can earn respect.
Yep, exactly, because you work for it.
Mm-hmm.
What about bring and take?
Bring here, take there?
Yep. Although, would you say native speakers are strict about that?
No.
But it should be, shouldn't it? If it's coming to here, it's bring. And if it's going to there, so aquí, bring. Take.
Take it there, bring it here. But native speakers sometimes don't follow that.
What about borrow and lend, Craig?
Ooh, borrow and lend. Well, you lend to someone, you borrow from. So the bank lends money to you, if you're lucky.
They give, yeah?
And yes, and you borrow money from the bank, which seems quite simple, but it's not. It's confusing for Spanish speakers with like the object. So I would say, Reza, can I borrow your pen? So I borrow your pen from you. However, I would say, Reza, can you lend me your pen? Can you lend me your pen?
Or can you lend your pen to me? You can also say.
That's just confusing.
To, just to confuse people, yeah?
Just to confuse them.
But what you said at the beginning was quite right, Craig. If people just stick to that, it's lend to someone.
Borrow from.
You can't change that. And also, I think Spanish speakers overly complicated. Lend is give. And borrow is take. That can't change.
Can you lend me your phone? Or can I borrow your phone? Simple.
Craig, you in the mood for a couple of more tricky ones?
Yeah, let's have a couple more each.
Allow and let.
That's a grammar difference, I think.
Uh-huh.
So let me help you, but allow me to help you.
Ooh, what have you done there? What have you done? Tell the listeners what you've done.
Allow me to help you. So there's the infinitive after the object.
With or without to?
With to. Allow me to help you. And let me help you. So there's no. So it's infinitive without to.
Is there much difference in meaning?
I would say the allow could be a little more formal. Mm-hmm. And let maybe a little more informal, but the meaning's the same.
If you were a kid and you wanted to translate into English, mis padres no me dejan salir. What might be the best translation?
My mum and dad don't let me go out.
Let, yeah. More informal, yeah, than allow.
Uh-huh. Or my boss is allowing me to have a 2 days holiday.
Uh-huh. So it means that both of them mean the same as permit.
Exactly.
And is permit followed by infinitive without to or with to?
This contract does not permit you to charge a lot of money.
So it's similar to allow.
So it has the infinitive.
I would say permit is the most formal of all.
I agree. And it's the easiest for Spanish speakers because it's permitir.
That's the problem. Spanish speakers often incorrectly use an excessively formal expression. They say, oh, my parents don't permit me. No, better to say my parents don't let me. But they think of the Spanish permit, but no, it's too formal for that situation.
And remember, with let, there's no infinitive. So my parents don't let me go out at weekends. What about wear and carry?
Oh, yes, that causes
problems.
Llevar.
What are you wearing? You're wearing a nice shirt. You're wearing jeans. You're wearing very smart clothes. But you're not carrying anything. When you came in earlier, you were carrying a briefcase. You were carrying books.
A very nice briefcase, if I say
yes,
so.
Yes, very nice briefcase. Yeah. So carry...
Which Craig gave me, by the way.
So carry is...
Normally in your hands.
Yes, on your person, in your arms.
And you're moving with it.
Yep.
What if you've got something in your hands, but you're not moving with it? You're still...
You're holding it.
You're holding it, yeah. Mm. So carry is when you're holding something, but moving, and you're carrying it.
And wear is on your body. So you're wearing a hat, you're wearing trainers, you're wearing slippers, you're wearing a tracksuit.
Wearing glasses.
But you're carrying books, you're carrying a phone, you're carrying a suitcase.
Can I go off on an angle? And since we said wear, what's the difference then between wear and dress and put on clothes?
Ooh.
Wear, dress, or get dressed, and put on.
Well, first you put it on.
Uh-huh. What so? You what are you doing if you're putting something
Isn't
on?
Isn't put on a small prostitute?
It could be as well, yes.
First you put clothes on. So in the morning I get up, I put on my clothes. And after I've put them on, I'm wearing them.
Uh-huh.
So this morning I put on a T-shirt and a pair of jeans. Now I'm wearing a T-shirt and a pair of jeans. Uh-huh. And dress?
The verb to dress or to get dressed.
Well, to get dressed is the action of putting on clothes.
So what's the difference there between get dressed and put on?
Get dressed is more general. You get dressed in the morning and... Put on would be more specific, like I'm putting on a shirt.
A specific item.
A specific item.
Put on your hat, put on your glasses even, mm-hmm. Put on your socks. But get dressed, your clothes in general, everything.
Yeah. Right. I get up in the morning, I get dressed, I have breakfast. Mm-hmm.
And also get dressed or dress, they're both intransitive. They don't take an object. It's just to get dressed. You don't say to get dressed plus clothes. You just say to get dressed.
Lose and miss, both perder.
Ooh, that's a tricky one. Ooh.
I'm sure you've explained it before, Reza.
Miss the bus?
The bus. No, you lose the bus.
How many times have I missed the bus, Craig?
You lose the bus, don't you? Where's the bus? I can't find the bus. Where is it?
No, as you know, Craig, I frequently miss the bus I'm supposed to be catching. I miss the bus. I'm late for it.
Perder.
In the sense of I'm late for it. Mm-hmm. Do you ever miss England?
Sometimes. I miss the warmth and atmosphere of a lovely English pub, especially in the winter when it's a lovely fire and good beer and good conversation. Spanish bars are not the same. I love Spanish bars in the summer, but I miss English pubs in the winter. Anything you miss about the UK?
You miss them. In other words, you'd like to be there, or you think about something that you liked in the past.
Yes.
Echar de menos.
Exactly. Is there anything you miss about the UK?
The green scenery everywhere. Green everywhere. The greenery.
The green grass of home.
There's nothing like it. And what about lose? What can you lose? I'm losing my mind, I think, sometimes. in other words, it's been destroyed or it's gone away. I don't know where it is.
I lost 10 euros yesterday. It fell in the street. I lost some money.
You don't know where it is.
No.
When you miss the bus, you see, you know where it is. It's gone. That's why it's to miss. But when you lose money, you don't know where it is.
So the difference is collocation. You miss the bus. You miss the train. You miss something from the past that you wish you had now. And lose, perder, where you lose your wallet. You lose some money. You can lose time. You can lose your patience.
Mm.
You can lose...
When you lose something, it's the idea that it's gone and that's it. Over.
It's disappeared.
Whereas if you miss something, it's gone, but you know where it is. It's just gone. You miss England, but we know where England is. And I miss the bus every day, but I know where it is. I just didn't get on it.
And I must say that when you go back to Belfast, I miss you.
Oh, thank you very much.
I don't lose my mind, but I miss you.
Can I say I very rarely these days make reference to Mickey Mouse? Do you miss those references?
Not really.
No? Okay.
Advise and warn.
Oh, you want me to fall into the trap. You want me to say, advise, tiene que ser avisar. Well, it's not. No. Advise is aconsejar.
Aconsejar. And the verb is with an S, A-D-V-I-S-E. And advice is the noun, A-D-V-I-C-E. So the difference between advise and warn.
Warn is avisar. Mm-hmm. So you warn of danger, or you warn somebody not to do something. There could be bad consequences. You warn them. Whereas advise is to give helpful or useful suggestions or information. For example, if you want to improve your English, if you want to bring it to the next level, if you want to grow your grammar, etc., I advise you to listen to Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
That's very good advice.
Isn't it?
I went out with Reza last Saturday and he warned me not to drink that eighth whiskey. He said to me, Craig, if you drink that eighth whiskey, you are going to be sick as a dog. He warned me. Did I listen?
No.
No.
And there were consequences.
So he warned me against drinking too much whiskey. So to warn someone against doing something, it must be the gerund because of the preposition.
With against. But I could also say, I warned Craig not to.
Exactly.
Warned Craig not to drink
with
the whiskey.
Infinitive. Mm-hmm.
What about this? Dismiss and resign.
I resign from my job, from a company. I do the leaving. I leave. It's my decision. I resigned from my company last year, but my company dismissed me. So my company told me to go. So dismiss is another word for to fire or to sack someone.
Which one is transitive with an object and which one is intransitive with no object?
Dismiss is transitive. It has an object.
So, you dismiss someone.
Yes, my boss dismissed me, but I resigned. I resigned from my job.
So from my job, it's not direct. It's an indirect object, but not direct object.
And there's another expression for resign, to hand in your notice. When you decide to leave your job, you can hand in your notice. You hand in the formal piece of paper that tells your boss you're leaving the company. So to resign or to hand in your notice. And to dismiss means to sack or to fire someone.
Craig, have you got any more?
That's it for me, mate. No more. Shall we wrap it?
Let's wrap it up.
Okay, that's all we have for you this episode. So now it's your turn to practice your English. We would like you to tell us and use some of these verbs in a message. Send us a voice message and tell us what you think. You can send a message on our website at inglespodcast.com. Just look for the speak pipe on the right of the homepage. If you prefer to contact us by email and ask a question or make a comment, you can reach me at craig@inglespodcast.com, and you can send an email to Reza at belfastreza@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and until next time, it's goodbye from me.
And cheerio from me.
Goodbye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.